welcome to another episode of the Brick House Podcast. A lot of punches went around this week. Punches heard around the league, Matt. Yeah. Bob Johnson, happy to talk to you today.
I'm Matt Baker.
The one you're not expecting us to talk about right away. The Spurs really got punched in the mouth at the beginning of the week.
Oh, they did.
In fact, they got beat by the Warriors and the Cavs this week. Ended a 13-game winning streak against the Warriors.
Wow.
Lost by 30-plus points. As I was watching the second half, I was pretty surprised, as I think a lot of people were, that that wasn't a closer game. There's only one coach that I would suspect this of, but Matt, what do you think the odds are that Greg Popovich is just, he just used that game to, like, scout the Warriors?
Yeah, I don't think he cared.
Yeah.
If you watch, maybe this is just
giving too... He's not going to admit to it.
Right, but the game got out of hand kind of quick, the Spurs game, and they held Duncan out. Now, granted, I don't know if Duncan would have made up that huge swing.
Right.
But you could also see that they might not have been doing anything to, like, give anything away or just kind of looking to see how the Warriors sometimes...
Well, that's what I was thinking. It's like, okay, well, what if we put Jonathan Simmons on Draymond? Then what happens?
Well, sometimes you can learn more about someone's weakness by watching them do great. Like, you could, if you're watching them run amok, then maybe you can see where they are able to slip up, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah, they certainly, the Warriors, that is, almost slipped up yesterday playing against the Philly 76ers.
Oh, man.
Best team in the NBA, nearly blew a 20-point lead to the worst team in the NBA.
Who do the Warriors think they are? The Suns?
That was a close one. Steve Kerr wasn't happy about it. But I would not be surprised if this was all a bait and switch. The Warriors and the Spurs meet again in the Western Conference Finals, and it's just like, they pull the rug out from under them.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, some punches that were heard around the world. Again, we'll skip the obvious one for now. Jason Maxiel, though.
Yeah.
He swung a punch that didn't land in the Chinese Basketball Association, but, man, it looks like it probably would have hurt if it did. And it got the guy so scared that he went running down the court. What happened was Maxiel is playing in China this year, and he got fouled really hard, like on the back of the head, by this guy's elbow. Maxiel turned around to swing at him, missed, and then chased the guy the length of the court, bouncing off referees and opposing players. The guy looked pretty scared, but there was one player on the other team who eventually caught up with him and sort of broke up the fight, who I was not expecting to be a part of this video clip. And I told Matt that it was a secret, player who breaks it up at the end. And what did you say?
I said, does it the player's name rhyme with Lykel Leasley?
Yeah, you guessed it right on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was Michael Beasley who ended up just talking into Maxiel's ear.
If you watch the clip, he doesn't try and talk Maxiel down as much as he... What I assume he says is, why are you wasting your energy? You know we're just over here to take these people's money. Why are you putting an effort into this?
Don't do any effort except to score baskets. Yeah. That's how they calculate your next contract.
Yeah.
Of course, the guy whose punch was heard loudest this week was Blake Griffin. Broke his hand punching the assistant equipment manager.
That guy must have a steel jaw or a steel wherever Blake hit if he broke his hand punching that guy. Because the equipment manager, you imagine, isn't bigger than Blake.
Well, some pictures came out of him.
He's very small.
Compared to a 6'10", professional athlete.
Right.
But yeah, I presume that not only does he going to have a busted face over the next week, but since there was no police report or, criminal actions pressed, I suspect this guy will be found in L.A. driving around in a new Lamborghini or something pretty soon here.
Right.
Compliments of Blake. I heard a couple of ESPN pundits suggesting, since Blake broke his hand in a non-basketball way, that the Clippers should suspend him.
Right.
The 4 to 8 weeks or however it takes to recover from this. What do you think about a move like that with a franchise player?
Oh, I don't know. I'm always in favor of treating franchise players like you would anybody else, because I mean, you have to treat him a little differently because they are the franchise player, but you don't want to create dissension in the ranks by.
So you're saying if this were Lance Stevenson that broke his hand on the equipment manager, he would be suspended and he should be?
He might be. I mean, it just kind of depends. Like, what if it was even DeAndre Jordan? I mean, just to,
sure.
It
well, DeAndre, at least they just wrapped up on a contract over this past summer.
Yeah.
The quote from Doc Rivers was something to the effect of, you know, everyone needs to learn forgiveness. I just read
that. Who's that directed at?
You know, the media is just like, why are you going to suspend Blake Griffin? He's like, oh, we should probably forgive him. And it's just like, we should probably not piss off the guy who's going to be a free agent in 15 months.
Right. You can simultaneously forgive someone while holding them accountable. Like, it's not, they're not two different things you have to do differently.
Take away his Xbox or something.
Yeah. Well, what if instead of punching an equipment manager, he should have just punched Austin Rivers? That would have, everyone would have,
Clippers fans would have,
supported
that.
Benefited from that, I imagine.
Definitely. So there's a big announcement about the All-Star game coming up. Matt, I don't know if you heard, but Sting is going to be the musical.
Oh man.
The musical guest at All-Star game.
When I think
show.
NBA All-Star game, I think Sting.
You know, last year, I thought it was Adam Silver's first year, you know, really with a full season.
Full year, yeah.
Because Stern left right after the All-Star game in 2014. But Adam Silver's first full year, and the music last year was great. I think they had Kendrick Lamar. They had a couple other people that you thought, like, wow, that might be people that NBA players actually listen to their music.
Right.
Whereas, you know, as opposed to Red Hot Chili Peppers or Black Eyed Peas or whoever other over-the-hill guy. But nope, went right back to it, right back to Sting. The only thing that I'm really looking forward to with this is maybe Puffy and Faith Evans join him for a rendition of I'll Be Missing You for Kobe Bryant's send-off.
That's the only... I was just going to say, that is the most hip-hop-ish thing about Sting. And it was... someone else doing their own version of the Sting song. Yeah.
The dumbest thing with this whole Blake Griffin punch stuff is people saying, well, maybe we should trade him.
Yeah.
He punched a guy in the face, trade him.
Yeah. You know what? The Clippers can have Markieff Morris, and I'll give him Archie Goodwin, and they can have a first-round pick. Send Blake over to Phoenix for that. Yeah, because, you know, if we'll give you Markieff Morris, who definitely doesn't have any baggage, so you'd be swapping out Blake, who has all the baggage, for a guy who, you know, is a model citizen.
He only punches random people at the gym when his brother's there to help.
Yeah. Is Marcus here? Okay, good. I'm good to go.
What's the deal with... So the contract year, we've been talking a lot about the new television deal that the NBA has made and how the salary cap is expected to leap from $67 million this season to around $89 million next season. This is going to be a lot of money for a lot of players. And so to prepare for this week's episode, I looked up the 40 best players who have contracts expiring this summer and are due for a new deal.
Yeah.
You know, some of them are unrestricted, others are restricted, you know, player options and so on. But all these players could be a free agent as soon as this summer. I'm going to bounce around between groups that I've divided them into, called the good, the bad, and the injured.
Okay.
And we'll try and predict, you know, how these guys are going to get paid and who's going to pay them.
Yeah.
Let's talk about mercurial big men that are up for a deal. How about...
I don't know what that word means, so I'm taking it as an insult. Okay, sorry.
How about Hassan Whiteside?
Oh.
Making less than $900,000 this year, but he is about to get paid big time. I have a big red flag warning sign on this guy as our first nominee for the Eric Dampier contract year award. This could turn out to be fool's gold if you know, Whiteside puts up a statistically impressive season and a half with Miami, gets gets paid $80 million, and then I could see him being an Andrew Bynum, you know, remix all over again.
Yeah, okay, so as of this podcast, he's played in 89 games over the past two seasons.
Okay.
Okay, so that's just over a year.
He'll get just a million over one for each season. One of those games.
Yeah. He, per game, he averages, let's say, oh, in Miami, okay? His averages over the 89 games are 12 points, 10 and a half rebounds. Okay?
Wow.
So, but I think people look at Whiteside a little differently. Well, he blocks a ton of shots. He almost has four blocks
right,
a game.
Right.
People look at Whiteside, I think, a little differently because he came out of nowhere and he was super athletic, flying around, getting triple doubles, blocking everything. And I think people look at that year slightly different because of the athlete. He's a heck of a lot more athletic than Dampier.
Sure.
So obviously he's going to push for a 4-year, $80 million, 4-year, whatever. He's going to push for whatever Barnes or whatever those type of players want, I think.
Yeah, the comparisons I had for his possible new deal is Brook Lopez just got 3 years, $60 million, and
Robin Lopez 4 years, $50 million, right?
Right. And also the agent's new gold standard, Tristan Thompson's 5-year, $82 million.
Yeah.
Whiteside is better than Tristan Thompson. Although you know, that Eric Dampier, Larry Sanders, Andrew Bynum gene seems buried deep in Whiteside.
Yeah, well, yeah, but maybe that's just a reflection on the past and also shows how much we don't know about.
Right. Well, let me tell you some things I did learn about Whiteside. Friend of the show, Julian, sent me some links to some Whiteside stories I hadn't heard before. One of them was the first day of practice, like training camp, and he showed up as a rookie.
Yeah.
He showed up in a $200,000+ Mercedes.
Solid.
And his teammates, you know, were just like, what are you doing? You know, your contract this year is for like $500,000, and you're not even going to be able to pay for this car, like, after the taxes.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, shit.
So he didn't realize that.
Yeah, didn't realize
that.
Solid. What was another one? He got injured. I think he got drafted by the Kings. So he was on the Kings the first couple of seasons. And so he was injured and was supposed to be going in and rehabbing. And apparently he would just, when people would say, like, oh, you know, how's the rehab going or whatever, he would just say, whatever, man, and continue to collect his checks.
Yeah.
There was another one where Al Jefferson, it was Sam D'Alembert, again with the Kings, was after practice, was telling Whiteside, hey, man, you know, you and I were going to go work with the post-up coach.
Yeah.
You know, and he's just like, nah, I'm good.
Okay.
And he's like, no, you know, we're going to work out with the coach. He's showing us these moves. We have to work on our footwork. He's like, no, you go ahead, though. You know,
yeah.
He's like, this is not an option. He's like, you know what? I'll give you 20 minutes.
Okay. Okay.
This guy hasn't made his first, you know, big contract of the year yet.
Combine that with the two seasons he just didn't play in the NBA.
Yeah. So these are big red flags for someone about to fork over a lot of money.
Okay. So then let's talk what we think would be a proper deal then for Whiteside. Because offhand, based on some contracts I've seen, like Damari Carroll and some of those other guys, and with those, I would say 3 years, $39 million.
3 years, 39. How do you get to that?
It's 3 years is short.
Yep.
You can make a 3-year mistake.
Yep.
Because it's better than a 5-year mistake. $13 million a year. Damari Carroll played consistently in the NBA for longer, but Whiteside's stats are basically Carroll good, give or take a little bit.
Yeah.
So if Carroll got more than that, and Carroll doesn't have the red flags like that, but so you take a slight amount of money off the table and a few years off the table.
Maybe one good comparison would be Chandler Parsons.
Okay.
The reason I say that is because
he can opt out.
He can opt out and is a 3-year deal, like you're saying, a shorter deal.
Yeah.
But it was also a huge jump from where he was.
Right.
They both were players, second-round draft picks, getting paid less than $1 million a year. Then all of a sudden, they're offered $15 million you know, to play basketball. That's quite a raise. Most people would be happy with that. And I don't know who Whiteside's agent is, but it feels like he could get himself in a pickle if he wants to play too much chicken with some of these NBA teams.
Okay, the Parsons contract with a player option is the third year.
Uh-huh.
That is actually okay. Give Whiteside $15 million a year for 3 years with a player option on the third year that shows, hey, if you do this, then you'll still be young enough to go out and get that big deal. You'll be what, 28, 27 by the time?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a fair thing. And I mean, obviously they want to make as much as they can, but you got to realize too at some point that the jump was so big that there's got to be a concession, I think.
So last question about Whiteside for you. Regardless of what this guy gets paid, do you think it's going to be the Miami Heat who is paying him?
Yes.
Yes?
I think so, because Wade is almost out. One of the reasons I liked the Goran Dragic trade for the Suns so much is the Suns got two first-round picks from the Heat that weren't this year. Mm-hmm. They were future. The Suns have an unprotected first-round pick from the Heat in, 2021 or 2020, which, looking at it, if you looked at the team now and look at that, it's brilliant because the Heat is just a giant question mark. They have no real future. They're built to win now. So with Whiteside, if you sign him, at least there's some future that, and you can put him up with Bosch. So that's a pretty good. Whiteside will be good because they have Justice Winslow too. So I would, if I was the Heat, I would probably re-sign him.
You know, Pat Riley, I think, is one of the GMs who thinks about making statements that the rest of the league will take notice of.
Yeah.
And would make an investment in someone like Dwayne Wade just to show the Kevin Durants and the Karl Anthony Towns of the future.
We will respect you.
Yeah. Yeah. We take care of our own.
Right.
But a lot of it has to do, I guess, with who else they can get in free agency this year. Because if they can sign Kevin Durant, and I do think Miami is one of the few teams that would be able to lure him away.
Yeah.
You can't afford to give Dwayne Wade that much money.
Right. And plus, as we've always stated about Miami, they're a team that's built to win now. So if you get rid of Wade, you better have somebody equally as good or better that can come in and fill that spot. Otherwise, you wasted money on Dragic. You're going to waste money on Whiteside, and you wasted money on Bosch.
Yeah.
Because this is not a team right now with a superstar that carries them individually. Wade is a superstar, but he is a superstar from the past. He's not currently someone that can put the team on his back. You can, you know what I mean? So you better have the...
And he can for a little while, but his back is getting old.
Yeah.
It breaks down easy.
Yeah. So then Wade might get... Sure. Okay. Re-sign Whiteside. Re-sign Wade. Give Wade or Whiteside 3 years, give Wade 2 years, have this team have a go at it, and then call it after that. So give Wade 2 years, $40 million. 2 years.
I like it.
And if for some reason Wade goes to them and says, I'll take 3 years, $18 million, jump on that and go throwing around more money.
Lock him in the house like DeAndre until he signs that deal.
Yeah.
Couple other players I wanted your opinion on that I have red flags next to as potentially, you know, fool's gold this season. Rajon Rondo.
Oh, man. Rajon is back.
I know you've been rooting for him this year.
I don't know if it's rooting for him as much as it's just acknowledging that he is back.
Mm-hmm.
And it couldn't have happened to a nicer team than the Sacramento Kings. Okay, so Rondo, yeah, this is his best year in what, 4 years, 3 years?
It would be awesome if Rondo went on Shark Tank for his new contract. That would really piss off Mark Cuban, I bet.
Yeah, that's true. What did he just come off of? What was the deal he just came? He signed a 1 year deal with Sacramento.
1 year deal with Sacramento, and the other deal was from his Boston days, which were
4 years, 44, yeah, five.
A pretty good bargain contract.
Right. It was pretty much the Steph Curry contract,
mm-hmm.
give or take. Okay. Are we assuming that the Kings re-sign him? Because what are the options? Does Rondo fit on the Knicks?
I feel like the Knicks and Lakers would take Rajon Rondo. There would be big.
The Lakers would take him, and then trade Russell or Clarkson.
Oh yeah, Clarkson too. He's on the list of guys. I have no freaking clue what sort of deal he's going to get. But you're right. The Lakers now do have a bunch of guys at point guard. I mean, he is from Kentucky. And they are trying to keep DeMarcus Cousins around. As long as Drake and Rondo are around, I think they think Cousins will be happy.
Yeah.
Losing games.
Now he's getting triple-doubles again, and he's playing like he... Man.
Exactly.
Would he...
he's playing like his next $100 million
yeah,
depends on it.
Would you... Is he going to get, like, 4 years, $60
million? I think he's going to get more.
More than that?
Yeah, I think he's going to get, like, Reggie Jackson, Tristan Thompson.
Yeah,
money.
That's true. If Reggie Jackson got... So he, what, like, 4 years 80? 4 years 82?
I think he's going to be a $20 million a year player. But again, this new contract, I mean, he just was, like we said, on Boston on a bargain deal of $11, $12 million a year. I think $11, $12 million is the new $20
million right.
In this new NBA salary cap. Zaza Pachulia's got some serious red flags. Definitely got that Eric Dampier smell to it, and being on the Mavericks might help that case. Matt, I'm going to read you a list of players' names. Maybe you can tell me, who do you think like the top three players or the top three contracts are going to go to? There's a good dozen players here. You tell me who's gonna get paid, who's gonna get way overpaid, who's gonna get paid appropriately, and who's gonna be underpaid.
Yeah.
Okay. These guys I've nicknamed Dipshit 1 and Dipshit 2, Josh Smith and Lance Stevenson.
Oh wow.
Also we have Evan Fournier and Evan Turner. Both the two Evans are up for a contract
yeah.
this year. J.R. Smith.
Man, can't wait.
Wants another one, as well as his teammate, Timofey Mozgov. He might get traded. Joe Johnson is currently the second highest paid player in the NBA.
Yeah.
But
for a decade.
I don't know if he even makes the top three on this next go-round. Jeremy Lin, Aaron Aflalo, Jamal Crawford, all the wing players who are up for a new deal. Roy Hibbert.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, his deal. So of all these players, well, first of all, just between the Evans, who do you think gets paid more money? Evan Turner or Evan Fournier?
Probably Evan Turner.
Evan Turner, damn villain. I was really hoping Fournier would get big bucks this year.
Yeah, well, you didn't ask me who I think should get paid. I think Fournier should probably get paid more.
Uh-huh.
But Turner has some sort of name recognition, and I think playing in Boston probably makes him stand out a little bit more.
So if you're the Dallas Mavericks, you know, you just subbed one rental point guard in Rajon Rondo for Deron Williams
yeah.
this year, and he's getting a bargain deal since the Nets are still paying him off from the buyout of
right.
his contract.
What was it, like 2 years, five, 2 years, $10 million or something like that?
The buyout was
the Mavericks.
Yeah, something reasonable like that. But I think he has a player option after this year. Well, what do you offer Deron Williams if you're Mark Cuban?
Oh man.
Again, another player who's on the wrong side of 30.
3 years, $40 million.
3 years, 40.
I'm trying to think of what people like, what, because you're right, it's a different NBA, so you have to think about it in different terms, because there are still some good memories attached to him, you know. I think he's probably a little better off, or Dwight Howard's probably a little better off than him, but
mm-hmm.
I think he falls into that mold of you remember all the good times.
Yeah. All right. Well, who else on this list is making big bucks? Who's going to be the most overpaid player, would you say?
Someone's going to give Mozgov a bunch of money.
Yeah, he's a pretty good player. The Cavs certainly can't afford to give it to him. They've got so many big guys on under contract. But he's only making $6 million this year. He really turned it around. I think people thought of him as just one of the lurches of the NBA until the finals and the playoff performance last year. Al Jefferson, who followed up a 5-game marijuana suspension with an injury, is really hurting his stock.
Yeah.
Chandler Parsons, Joakim Noah, the aforementioned Terrence Jones, and Monte Yunus. Also Brandon Jennings coming back from that Achilles tear.
Right.
And another guy that a lot of people are high on, I see nothing but red flags, Bradley Beal.
Oh.
He's unless he turns around and, goes like Steph Curry and turns from a paper mache leg guy to one of the best players in the league, I don't think he's worth the max deal that
someone's going to give him.
He's definitely getting a max deal.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why.
Yeah. If we talked about Harrison Barnes, I know he's not injured, but Barnes and Beal are...
Oh, yeah, Barnes. Barnes is definitely on my list for guys likely to be super overpaid.
Yeah. What was one of the... There was a name you said... Parsons. Parsons is going to get $20 million a year.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. I think someone's going to give him that.
Do you think he'll ever be an all-star?
Probably not, but, I mean, Korver was an all-star. Do you think he's better than Kyle Korver?
I think he's better than Kyle Korver, but I don't think Kyle Korver makes anywhere near $20 million a year.
No, he sure doesn't. But I'm just thinking that someone's going to give it to him because there's just so much money floating around. If someone's going to spend $20 million on one of those players, then I would give it to Noah.
Uh-huh.
Because at least with Noah, you know what you're getting. And Noah's going to be – I know he's injured, but – he's going to be the same player for the rest of his career. I think his game translates well into aging because he relies more on instinct and he relies just kind of on being around the ball the entire time.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's a lot better because his game is not flash at all. In fact, it's like anti-flash.
Uh-huh.
So if those players, if you're going to give someone $20 million, I would just give it to Noah.
Cool, I like that suggestion. Well, there's a lot more to cover on free agency, and I'm sure we're going to be talking about it all through the year, especially as the trade deadline gets closer, and then, of course, free agency of the summer. Just a few funny headlines, though, of course, we got to get to in the NBA. I was watching the Blazers local broadcast the other night, and I thought there was a very... very Portland thing on that. There was a commercial that the Blazers this season, for every 3-pointer that is made, the Blazers are going to plant 3 trees outside of Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
I thought that was just so
Portland.
That's
such a Portland thing.
In related news, former Blazer Cliff Robinson has started a recreational adult use marijuana store outside of Portland.
This was destined to happen, it shocked nobody category.
Yeah, Jalen Rose said it's not like he just all of a sudden developed this affinity for marijuana.
Yeah.
And he has earned the nickname in the headlines now of Spliff Robinson.
Yeah, had people not... Because he had played... in Phoenix for a bit. Uh-huh. So my friends and I had been called, we had known him as Uncle Spliffy for years. But I don't know if that's just because you could just kind of tell because the way he moved and the way he kind of looked kind of glazy all the time. Like yeah.
Yo mama is so fat.
The diss of the week came from all the way overseas this week, Matt.
Oh, wow.
The diss of the week I have is from a headline from an Israeli newspaper.
Oh, man.
And the headline read, it was about David Blatt being fired by Cleveland, of course. The headline was, Goliath eliminates David.
Ooh.
That's our diss of the week. The Palestinian newspaper covered the same news a little differently. Their headline from that day was, "Hero takes back what is rightfully his." The second diss of the week actually was by Mr. Kobe Bean Bryant. He didn't even have to say a word, but he was injured in a Lakers game and came out in his street clothes and was looking for a seat on the bench, and there were no seats left.
Yeah.
So he had Larry Nance Jr. stand up and sit on the floor so Kobe Bryant could squeeze in next to Sacre at the end of the bench.
Kobe finally got his revenge for those tweets that Larry Nance Jr. sent out years ago.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Came full circle.
Kobe always wins. Let that be a lesson to you.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny. Some of his teammates really snickering at that.
What the fuck has anything got to do with LeBron James?
Oh, let's do a LeBron James reference that has nothing to do with LeBron James. You ready for this? Mm-hmm. Here's how I'll tie it all in. John Wall fired his agent this past week. And how is this a LeBron reference, you ask? Rich Paul is John Wall's new agent, who is also LeBron's agent and
Tristan Thompson's agent.
Tristan Thompson, Eric Bledsoe.
Eric Bledsoe, yeah.
Also, LeBron and him co-own the agency that he is the agent for. John Wall was pretty jealous of James Harden's shoe deal and Reggie Jackson's deal.
Yeah, John Wall is. There's a lot of jealousy around.
John Wall wanted some Adidas money, so he fired his agent, got Rich Paul on the case. Rich Paul is going to have a lot more time nowadays because he just dropped Johnny Manziel as one of his clients.
Oof.
Probably a smart move on that, on Rich's part there. So we'll monitor that situation.
On the next episode of Brick House.
We're going to explain how Jeff Van Gundy finally tells NBA fans how he really feels about the Hack-a-Shaq strategy.
Mm.
You just turn on any ABC ESPN game, and I guarantee you Van Gundy, it's probably a 50% chance he's just going to, it's not the game of basketball. I don't like it. You change the rule. You need to have foul people. Call Adam Silver. Get him on the phone. Van Gundy, he even suggested that they do the hack at Drummond in the All-Star game, just like in protest, until the league changes the rules. So that's something to look forward to from our favorite curmudgeon on ABC, Van Gundy. But, wow, thanks for the free agent talk today. I feel like I really need to renegotiate my contract at work.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'll tell you guys how that went. I might have a lot more time to podcast after that conversation.
Yeah, keep us updated on that that great conversation.
Yeah, follow us on Twitter at BrickHousePod, and we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you.